Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and forever.
Amen.
So welcome back. At first, I need to mention that we got a new benefactor for Israel Ministry who pledged to donate some money. So thank you very much. I don't know the name, I know just email address. So thank you very much. And yes, it will be good use for that, because I just want to share just a little bit that it spreads, and I see some kind of sign of God. I don't know if I want to go so deep, but 3 weeks ago, it was some kind of like crisis. I was questioning this mind. Well, it's worthy to do this. I'm asking, this my question was because what we are doing here in English, because I make preparation in Slovak, so I decided to share it in Slovak, the same thing, plus other things, preparation for homilies and other stuff. So it, because the work is done, so just to share. But it takes a little bit time, more time, to steal. And I was questioning if it is like the way, what I'm supposed to do. And it was amazing that what happened next week. After this week, I was like down a little bit. I was questioning. Well, you always ask this question that you don't want to waste this time. And next week, it was a Monday. After this, when I was praying, asking for a sign, the sign came. And this press office of Conference of Bishops of Slovakia, they issued a report or the news about this podcast, which is a mutation of R in Slovak. They put very nice report there that about that, and it was like boom from the time. So then after a few days I got message from one radio, Catholic radio in Slovakia. They want to use this podcast in Slovak for the broadcasting. Then next day, our first like Byzantine Catholic TV station, they approached me with proposal to make for every day like reflections on Holy Fathers. So they're 5, 3, 4 minutes long reflections, and there was many other things. And so it was amazing to answer. And even like this new benefactor who came, who supported like this our ministry. It was great, because through this we can cover this extra expenses which were needed to provide like technical support for all these new projects. And another thing is, with this cooperation with this TV station, it was like growing somehow, and now they are thinking about putting some kind of camera to our church. And to really broadcast live a liturgy from our church, because they broadcast like five liturgies per day from different churches in Slovakia. And after midnight, they stopped to broadcast and said they want to use this midnight to 6 o'clock to broadcast in English, for example, our liturgy. They are interested about to broadcasting. These are book studies. So actually, well, it is in process of they have to find out that if they can do this, if those rules for broadcasting, if it allows them to do something like that. But what I want to say is that this prayer was answered in a big way. I didn't expect something like that. It was like a miracle for me. And so it's for me a sign that this activity has God's blessing. And another thing is that we were talking yesterday, last time when Bishop was here, we were talking about that we are supposed to ask for big things in prayer, you know, that important things. And I want to bring as an example that yes, we are. This was not, for example, my thoughts how to do advertising for podcast, because one thing is to have, the second thing is to let people know that yes, this podcast is here. So it's those different things. But look, God takes care of these details if you ask him about the big thing. Because if this is God's will to do this, or this there is God's blessing, he will take care of other things. I would never reach so many people as this report through this conference of Bishop of Slovakia did. And started this avalanche with things. So this is why we should have, when we pray, we should have this bigger picture that to ask about the big things, and he will take care of others. And even that is not, it's just in the beginning of prayer. Because many times we take prayers, the prayer is that we ask something, we praise God, we ask him for something, we glorify him, and many things, and still it is we are doing something, we are active, we are doing. But we have to understand, this is not prayer. Prayer is, a pure prayer is when God takes over soul and mind, and Holy Spirit prays in us when our senses are silent, when activity of mind is silent, there is no activity, when we stand in awe in front of God, taken by God, by his grace. When this prayer like runs in us, we are filled with this silence, but this silence is the prayer, this pure prayer. So, well, if we ask now why we run this way of purification of soul and mind when we are become worthy of this gift of God, yes, we have to use this our activity of our mind or our soul, this to fulfill these good desires for prayer, to push ourselves, to prepare ourselves, but we have to realize that it has to be still this big thing. And yes, like John, you ask about, are we supposed to pray for those who are sick or they are doing something wrong? Sure, but one with this prayer, it is like, what I like is that we see pain of somebody. And I like this picture, I don't know when I read, this is not my, that you should, when you walk through day and you meet these nice things, which fills you with grace, with thankfulness, gratitude, you see these painful moments in life of others in your life. You put it to heart. Each this thing makes a mark there. And in time of prayer, when you pray to God, and when you ask for salvation of your soul and soul of all people, whole world, God sees your heart, and He sees what you carry in your heart. And the same thing is that when we ask for these the most important things, we, through this, all these little things are solved. You know, it is like when this last sentence, I think it was that when we approach King, so we don't come in front of King with small things because it offends him. We come with big things. And King has power to elevate you so high that many of your present problems disappear through this exaltation. You know, it's difficult to explain that. And I don't say that if you see pain of your child, that you don't ask God, you don't beg, help my child. I'm just saying that we should not be stuck on this level. You know, we are not supposed to stuck that we are supposed to remind God these little, many, all those little things. We should always like raise our soul to the most important thing, to salvation. And many things then, and to let God, because many things which are hard, you know, and painful, and people saw, this serves for salvation of souls. How many times you, as a priest, we have this experience that people who become like very sick, or they are almost in danger of death, there are probably they call priests after 15, 20 years. They meet the priest, and then you can see that the heart is broken, the soul is broken. They suffer horribly. You feel sorry for them. But then you realize, well, good. God is saving this soul through this pain. This person was not able to come to repentance through own will. He was not able to force himself to come closer to God. So, well, God allows these tribulations because He wishes our salvation.
I know of a woman who suffered from mental disease her whole life, depression, suicidal thoughts. She just had all sorts of mental illness. And it was just toward the end of her life that she finally confessed that she had had an abortion. And then her life just calmed down. She, you know, there was true healing. But that unconfessed sin caused her, it just festered and caused her pain her whole life.
So this is, well, yes, this is a very good example. And it is how does it work? So many times, you know, when we publish on our church face page that somebody is sick, we are asking for prayers. And we know those people and we pray for them. But well, always we should add that we are praying for salvation of the soul. Because it might be situation of or it is God visitation for the soul to shake with the soul, to come the soul to senses. And we always should have in mind that, well, God might have own intention with all this situation. And this is what we are supposed to pray. It's difficult. I think that when we become more perfect in prayer, we'll be able to recognize what to pray for, or this to make distinguish these are requests, you know, we will be wiser. But the principle, spiritual principle we learned last time was, if you pray and you have a request, ask for big things. Little things offend our King. Okay, so let's start. Let's continue. It's a very nice paragraph in front of us. We are continuing on page 147 from the top.
We are commanded to be children in our gentleness, not in our minds. During prayer, the babbling and fickle reason of this world is rejected. This does not mean that prayer requires stupidity. Prayer instead requires absolute reason, reason filled with humility and simplicity, which in prayer is often revealed not in words, but in something much higher than words, silence. Prayerful silence only then visits the mind when suddenly a new spiritual understanding appears, indescribable in the words of this world and age, when the living presence of God is palpably sensed. Before God, who is inconceivable in his greatness, his feeble creature, man, falls silent.
So Brancino continues in this, he thought about this importance of our request should be mature and big. He said, this is like this babbling and fickle reason of this world is rejected. That those not good our requests are not heard. And well, what we need when we pray, this is very important, and we were talking about this like several our meetings before, that when we pray, we should at first in this preparation for prayer realize who we are going to talk to, who is God and who I am, you know, that if I realize, if I take time in silence to realize, okay, I'm going to talk to God who created everything, even me, and my whole eternal destiny is in his hands, and he created each my soul, and he takes care of me through his providence. So when I realize all those things, so it is some kind of like almost trembling in the soul. It's really this awe and this fear of God and this awe in front of God. And this is the moment when our requests are tested. That when we make this preparation is like,
what do you suppose?
Oh, you know, you have like, you have flour and you go through.
Sift.
Okay. So, well, this is happening during this time that we can really recognize very fast fickle reasons, how he says, you know, that for prayer. So this helps us to raise and to ask this bigger or more important request. And he says, but it is not only that we come to through this preparation, through this realizing who is God, not only that we can divide these good requests and bad requests, but we are pushing our soul to the state, higher state, when after a while, when we become more mature, we will be standing like in this awe, with no words, with no prayer. And it is like to stay in this awe in front of God, when suddenly we feel, well, nothing what I say can somehow express or is worthy of this greatness of God. So we are like, we go to silence, and this is a moment when the silence comes because of my awe in front of God, when soul starts to be somehow prepared for this gift of pure prayer, that God comes and takes he starts this prayer in my heart. Well, but we are talking now about really spiritual heights, and we can think that, well, it's not for us, maybe it is for mystics, for some kind of monks. But like Holy Fathers, they say, well, not all of them, but many of them, they remind us that they say the best belongs to all. Nobody excluded. We all are invited to have this best. We all are invited to come to this state. And this is something what we are learning here when we are talking about keep the commandments, fasting, about all these things, ascetical things. This is what we are supposed to really try to put to our life to prepare our mind and heart for to receive this intimacy with God, to prepare ourselves for this God's gifts, which are prepared for us. It is just that we don't make this path, you know, towards that we are satisfied with the others. And I was talking about this yesterday, about this that we have to learn how to go back home. And Holy Fathers are these guides who show us the way, and if follow them, so then we will get there if we want them. But many times we follow people, we feel we are satisfied if we compare ourselves with the others. I say, well, I am doing just fine, you know, so I'm okay. There are many others who don't even do as I am doing. So we stop. We are with this satisfaction. But no, this is not the way. The way is to walk. To walk to this moment when we stand in awe in front of God, ready to receive his gifts. And we should try every day to get there. All right. Let's continue. If you don't have comments or questions, nothing. All right.
The long prayers of the pagans that the Lord rejected consist of oft-repeated, long-winded petitions about temporary goods, as if rhetorical flourishes, pleasing delivery, or the power of the spoken word could act in the same way on God as on the hearing and emotions of carnal man. Rejecting such inane babbling, the Lord in no way rejected long prayers per se, as some heretics imagine. He himself sanctified long prayer when he remained in prayer for long periods of time. The long prayers of the Lord's righteous were not long because of excessive words, but because of the many spiritual experiences that were revealed to them during prayer. Through the power of these experiences, time is conquered, becoming a foretaste of eternity for the saints of God. The practitioner of prayer achieves success in his blessed labor when the variety of thoughts expressed in psalms and other prayers no longer correspond to his spiritual needs. The prayer of the publican and other short prayers more succinctly express the unutterable, magnificent desires of the purified heart, and often the saints of God spend many hours in such prayer, never feeling the need for diversity of thoughts for their powerful, concentrated prayer.
Yeah. So St. Ignatius leads us slowly and to correct understanding of prayer. And again, I will repeat it again. What is prayer is stand in silence, but in awe in front of God. When whole our being is taken by God. And but we have to be aware that we cannot somehow jump to this state. It is a result of our work. It's really work, hard work. So let's remind ourselves these few steps, and we were a little bit talking about this before during other occasions, but let's put it together. This maturity of prayer has several steps. This first and very important step is that we are making our prayers clean from requests for temporally earthly goods. That more we pray for this spiritual and eternal goods, like for salvation of soul, for gift of repentance, or a gift of humility, those things, a gift of love. So more we pray these kind of prayers, and especially to really pray for salvation. So more we pray, so this more our prayer is more clear, you know, it's more pure. So this is like first step, and this first step, and all this cleansing of these prayers, is connected with knowledge of commandments of gospel. I'm not talking about these 10 commandments, but all these commandments. Like Branchino says that, what are commandments of Christ? He says, it's whole gospel. The gospel is Christ's commandment, what we should keep. So if we keep commandments, it means that we, through this keeping commandments, we really remove, we are removing our passions, bad habits from our heart. We conquer those bad inclinations. And it means that in the same time doing that, we are growing in virtues. So, and this movement, this keeping commandments, helps us to recognize our prayers if they are oriented to earthly things or to eternal things. And one thing is that if somebody is, for example, under rule of vainglory, I would say, so many times his prayers or requests the person puts to prayer are nothing else than just desires through which he wants to fulfill these desires of his passion. It's nothing connected with salvation. He just wants to quench this thirst of his passion. So keeping commandments helps us to clean our prayers. Then the second step is, if we want to learn how to pray, we should learn the prayer from Psalms, reading Psalms, praying Psalms, because there we learn how to pray, and we are acquiring correct spirit in heart. When we read Psalms, this is like the biggest prayer book, because Psalms, they have all these movements of human heart you can find there. And you can find there all these like correct expressions, correct calling of human heart towards God. We have to be careful with some things. We have to remember correctly. Do you remember this verse? I don't know it exactly, that there is a request, take these Babylon children and smash them against like rocks. Remember that? So we say, what is this? What kind of prayer it is? But we have to remember, for example, this is this psalm is saying, talking about passions, about this which starts to grow, Babylon captivity, these children of Babylonians. These children for Jews were their future masters who would rule over them. So if psalmist make this verse, so he said, those small things, inclinations, which can become later strong bad habits, passions, which will rule over you. So when there are small, take them, smash it against rock. So we should not be scandalized if we don't understand something, or there's some kind of like a verse in Psalm that, it is not correct. We should trust God that it is correct, you know, it's in the Bible. But we should pray, and through this prayer we will come to wisdom. So Psalms and then prayers of saints. This is why even like this prayer by own words is good from in some moments, and when we are, for example, there is a hard situation comes suddenly and we say, oh Lord, help. This prayer with our own words is okay. But when we start to, for 15 minutes, to babble about sometimes through our words, about, when I'm sorry, I it might be like judgment, but I really cannot stand it. Sometimes on TV, these kind of prayers I can hear, it's like, it's difficult to listen. If you are taught by prayers of saints, this is why it is very bad advice somebody who is on the beginning of journey, you know, in spiritual life. It is advice, just tell God, share with God, talk to God, open your heart to God. So that person will be talking about own emotions, feelings, and but the person will be just talking to own ego, to own this idol he calls God, but it is own ego. So we have to learn how to pray correctly, and this is why we take these prayers of saints and we read these prayers. And another thing is that saint, we are praying his words or her words. The saint, as well, it is saying, but I trust this truth, that when they use their words, they pray with us. So we become, at the moment we have a helper who helps us to pray in heaven. And so this is the beginning, when we learn to pray through, or to have this prayerful mind through sounds, through prayer of saints. And then we should like go through to some kind of more simplicity. And when we learn to pray, when we have this correct understanding prayer to Jesus prayer, or well, it might be another verse from Psalm, but well, in our tradition, and it is confirmed now through, it became like big tradition. Before there were more of these forms, but now, especially Jesus prayer, when we call upon God, and in this prayer is there is a perfect expression of desire of soul, which refuses world and has desire for God, for salvation of whole world. And then soul becomes slowly prepared for this, for to receive this God's gift, which is pure prayer. I just read, I watched Samuel Popiel, he sent me a link, and it's Joseph Hesychast. He gave like advice to young men about Jesus prayer, and he said, don't worry too much, and just in short, he said that just say through mouth Jesus prayer non-stop, and he said, you will see after, if you do it for 3 months, this prayer will descend to your heart and it will start own life. It means it will continue all time. So it is so perfect. And you know, I was thinking about this, that well, strange advice, 3 months to pray this all non-stop. But you know, if you pray and you keep this really, I wish I would have 3 months of vacation, you know, that to do this. But you know, if you pray non-stop, Jesus pray for 3 months, if you pray Jesus pray, you are not doing bad things. You are not distracted with other things. You are not open to the world. Maybe your thoughts are, in the beginning, are going around, but still this prayer put like handcuffs on you and restrain you from doing extra things. So you are almost detached. So for 3 months, and you are really, you are getting to a state of some kind of maturity. Well, we cannot afford these 3 months to just to do nothing, just to pray. But we can pray a lot of. We might not be able to pray, just pray whole day, but we can really learn to use each moment for prayer, for saying this. So it might not take 3 months, maybe it will take 2 years. But it will change us. But we have to be in the beginning is to force our mind to practice this, to make this resolution, to go in each free moment to pray. And if you, one thing what you experience immediately, that you will stop to talk too much. Even you will be some of nature running away from people, not to talk to people. Because you know that I have to use time for prayer. So it is like strange. And it might be strange for us, but it's not strange. It is just this social construct or some kind of feeling that we have to talk, that we feel not comfortable if we are not talking, that we meet somebody or we are with somebody, we have this urge to talk, to keep a like conversation, but it is not right. Well, I remember one priest who was traveling with Bishop John to Europe, and he said, "Well, I was thinking." The priest said, "Well, I was what we are going to talk all this time, you know, in airport, waiting, in the plane, you know, what we are going to do." He was like, he just wanted to be good company, you know, that to keep conversation, and everybody said, "Well," he said, "I don't know what I'm going." And then he told that. So we came to through this like, what is this when they check you, checkpoint, and still we had like 2 hours to wait for our plane. It was set down. So I asked something, Bishop answered, and I said, "Well, it's like 2 hours. What we are going to talk, you know?" And then he said, and suddenly he saw Bishop took chotki, his prayer rope, and he started to pray. And he was silent. And then he asked that, "Well, don't you bother that we are not talking?" And he said, "Why we need to talk, you know? Why we need to talk?" And he said, "So we were like two strangers there, you know, like sitting next to each other. But both we were praying." And he said, "It was perfect trip. It was perfect trip." He said that. Yeah, they talked later. But this priest realized that how great it is. It was a relief for him. How great it is to travel with somebody who thinks the same way, you know, that, well, that he doesn't need to fill the time with something. And they were like in this peace, both of them, in this freedom. Yeah, let's pray. So when there was silence, it was not a problem. And many people around us can feel that. They can have this urge to pray, and we are damaging this urge or this feeling through our love, that we want to give attention to that person. We don't want the person to feel that, well, we are not talking to you. And in the same way, through our love, we are damaging this precious time for this person. Well, I know that It's difficult to find the same company. There are people who don't understand, and it might be difficult for us. But if we are among Christians, and we know that, so we should not be somehow tempted to really talk nonstop. You know, we can really be. I love this picture when I was a little, well, a child, and we went to visit our grandparents. It was Sunday, and you go through this their village, and you see it was like custom. There was like bench in front of and front yard in house. And usually you could see this like this older couple sitting there, because you know that they were able to sit there like for hours, not saying a word to each other. And for us it might be there were many who were talking. Don't get me wrong, but there were many of these who didn't have this need. They just were together. And it was always somehow attractive for me, this ability to be together in this some kind of silence. And but it is difficult. It's difficult. Yeah. Sometimes we are, when Miron is in seminary and we are together, and we are in silence many times, and then you have, you know, say something. But there is no need for that, you know, but.
We went through the same thing this weekend. Bill and I looked at each other and said, boy, it's weird not having Sarah here, though.
So now you have can practice prayer. Silence.
So I talked to the dog.
Poor dog.
Poor dog.
So there's a story of a priest would see this man come in every day and sit in the back of the church and just sit there and look at the altar. And this went on for a long time. Finally, one day, the priest caught the man leaving the church, and he says, I see you here every day. Is there a particular prayer you pray, the rosary, or something like that? He goes, no. I just sit there looking at him, and he looks at me. Yeah. And that's prayer. That's prayer. He just sits there looking at him, and he looks at me. So.
Yeah. Sometimes it's refreshing. It's very refreshing, this kind of prayer, and especially when we go to this silence in front of God, as you mentioned, it's really when you go back, you feel refreshed, rested. I remember, maybe I said this, that when we had this celebration of St. Nicholas with three bishops, our bishop, but at the time he was not our bishop, Bishop John, and at the time Bishop Philip. And well, they had like whole day in, because they visited many things in Cleveland, so it was a busy day. So when they came here before liturgy, well, 2 hours or 3 hours before liturgy, 2 hours I think, it was like they were tired. So Bishop Philip asked me that, well, I need a rest. I said, oh my, where to put him, you know, because Bishop Milan was spending like time in our house, so the room which was available, he was there in that room, and we didn't have like other, well, we had our bedroom, but I said, well, who knows, maybe there's a mess there or whatever, you know. So I hesitated a little bit. I said, well, I have to find a room for you. Oh, no. He said, no, just show me the way to the church. It's okay. And then later I went to make preparation for the liturgy. I saw him in the pew praying, like, well, and I thought, well, this is how bishops rest. And it was so powerful for me that shortly after that, I was really tired. Some, I don't know what was going on. But so I said, well, I'm going to try. And sure, body doesn't rest, you know. You have like still, you are tired, like bodily tiredness. It's still, but spirit is refreshed. So he taught me something. All right, so let's take another paragraph, one more.
The prayers invented by heretics are, in fact, quite similar to the prayers of the ancient pagans. They are long-winded, beautifully phrased, passionately expressed, and lack repentance. In them is desire for the bridegroom that is taken straight from the brothel of the passions. They are full of self-deception. They are not of the Holy Spirit. Rather, they stink of the death-bearing infection of the spirit of darkness, the spirit of evil, the spirit of lies and perdition.
Well, this paragraph and this his advice, it's good for us because we are exposed to this kind of prayer, how he says this, that long-winded, beautifully phrased. lack of repentance is there. So we can find these prayers very often, and many times those prayers are liked by people, you know, especially who have this more, they're more, they are under more emotions, you know, it's beautiful, it's flowery, you know, and but it is not good sign when we hear this kind of prayers which attack, they try to somehow to attack our emotions and to bring good feelings to heart. So it is not prayer which we should follow. And it is as he says that, and he's right that this prayer, it's not from Holy Spirit, but it has this thing of death, bearing infection of the spirit of darkness, the spirit of evil, the spirit of lies and perdition. And so if we read this work of saints, both east or west, and when they are talking about prayer, they warn against this prayer, this kind of emotion. You know that, and you can even like when we read some prayers of saints, you can see this poetry there, that there are really nice worded prayers and beautiful, but still, what is there is this calling for repentance, calling for somehow changing of heart. Even it is beautiful, but if this is not so present, so it is for sure sign that, well, it is just something what feeds our ego, what just tries to satisfy our emotions. So we should run away. And it might be confusing because he mentioned several times that how this prayer brings us to awe in front of God, in this silence, and those are good emotions too. And so how can we make distinction? And like Isaac Syrian, he says on one part, I don't remember now, but he says, you will know, I will tell with my words. He said, soul will know when it is from Holy Spirit. If you are in state of repentance, you are searching for salvation, so then soul is able to recognize. And if we learn, as we were talking about these steps, purification through keeping commandments and learning from psalms, from saints, so you will acquire this taste. You will be able to recognize what is false prayer, what is good prayer. It will not taste, you know, as you taste milk which is spoiled, you know immediately, bah, you know that it is not good. And the same thing is when we learn taste of true prayer, correct prayer, so it will help us to recognize false prayer immediately. You will just feel not comfortable. This is not prayer. So even like those four ecstasies, you know, which we are able to see, you have this, you can see this is not real, this is not correct, something false is there. And I forgot to turn off my phone and it made this horrible sound. I am very sorry. I think that we would finish here, even we have several minutes, but I think it's not good to start. So I like this chapter is long, but really, I like this chapter of prayers, and I hope that you like it too. And it really helps us to bring us our prayer to deeper maturity. All right.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you and God bless.